Thank you, ladies. A couple things I did forget to announce in our announcements, and that number one, for a schedule of those meetings this weekend, there's a number of them out on the table right outside the door here. So you know what the schedule is there. I want you to take advantage of that. I haven't gotten smaller, but Pastor Howard made an amazing discovery that this pulpit rises. And so if my wife looked especially small today, it's because this thing got raised up. And so we found out how to make that thing work. And one other thing, and that is he's not going to get to preach on it on Sunday night for a little bit, because next week, of course, Brother Fisher is going to be here, and then the Howards are going to be on vacation for 2 weeks. So you might want to remember them in prayer, but they'll be leaving on that Monday right after the conference. So just so you're aware of that as well. So, okay, turn, if you're in your Bibles, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 29 today. Looking at the genuine faith in the life of Moses. What is faith? We know that we're to live by faith. The just are supposed to live by faith. Do we know what it is? Do we know how it's practiced? Well, we've seen here in Hebrews 11, it's described for us. It's pictured for us in the life of individuals. Faith, as it says in that first verse, is faith is the substance of things hoped for. We saw that substance is the Word of God. It's the evidence. It's the confidence of things that are not able to be seen. In this chapter, we observe through the annals of history men and women practicing this genuine faith in God. And today we're going to examine this faith as demonstrated in the life of Moses. If you've been here for a period of time, you have heard me preach from this passage before. I think it's one that, because it so illustrates the various aspects of faith by which we see in the life of Moses. And it's one that I think it's good for us to go back and to read. Now, in our last message, as we were in Joseph last week, I was able to go back and go through a number of those passages of Scripture of Joseph in the Old Testament, because Moses, there's much more recorded here in the life of Moses. We probably won't be able to do that. I'm just going to have to refer to a number of those instances in Moses' life, it'd be profitable to go back and read in the book of Genesis through those whole accounts as you see these things that take place. But let's examine faith here today as it is demonstrated in the life of Moses. First of all, in that 23rd verse, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This is not here the faith of Moses, but it shows that heritage of faith that Moses had. It's speaking of the faith of his parents. They were parents that practiced faith in their home. As it says, that they feared not the king's commandment. They lived above the fear of man. They knew the repressive government was not in ultimate control. As you would go back into that story, we recognize that as Pharaoh came to fear the Jews, and he saw them increasing in numbers, and for fear of that, he decided that these children would be killed. And so as these men came, you know, he made the decree that these babies that were born, that they would be slain. But Moses' parents, obviously in recognition that God was in control and not fearing the king's commandment, Their faith here seems to be a general faith in God. They had no specific commands that we have here that they were to follow, but they knew this could very well mean the loss of their own lives, even as they would seek to save Moses' life. They didn't know that Moses would be spared when they did this, when they took and made that little basket and took their little baby boy and put him there in that basket among the bulrushes. But this was a faith, as I look at it, that accepted the personal peril that they would be in to do what was right. They put their faith in action, trusting in God. We know it was by faith because that's what it says here in Hebrews. The Lord lets us know that these actions that their parents took, it was by faith. It was by faith in God. They knew very well that this could mean the loss of their own lives, not knowing that Moses would be spared. But they did what was right and they trusted God. You know, as you think about this aspect of faith, you will be called upon to make decisions. Decisions that may affect your job. They may affect your finances. They may affect your home. But who will you put first? Will you put the Lord first? Will you put yourself first, or will it be God? And in that, what heritage of faith will you leave your children? Will it be mom and dad trusting in God, even at the expense of their own security? What kind of a heritage of faith will you leave? I think we've looked at that heritage of faith a little, even as we looked back and saw in previous messages as well. But that's what I see there for Moses, a heritage of faith. But then when we come to verse 24, down to 24 through 26, we see there's a personal faith that Moses had. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Boy, there's a lot in those verses. There's a lot there that expresses the faith of this man. You know, it's a great blessing from which we receive rewards in that parental faith, in that heritage of faith. But parental faith is not sufficient, is it? Parental faith is not sufficient for the child. The heritage of faith, which some of you have and maybe some of you didn't have, but that's not sufficient for you. I run into those as we talk many times. They bring up their heritage of faith. They'll say, well, my daddy was a preacher. And almost to the sense that, well, that's going to make me okay. Or I had a godly grandmother. But what about you? I went to church every week with my parents, you know, and you hear that. But what about your faith? That personal choice is required. That personal choice, that making it your own. Moses had his mother's training, and while a young boy, will you remember that the Lord had the circumstances that they worked out, that Moses ended up, even though he was put into Pharaoh's household, he had his mother there in those first years to train him. He had training there that would have revealed to him his Creator and his God. He had a training there that would have made known to him some of the great and precious promises that God had made to his people. But then he had the training of Egypt. He was trained in all of the ways of Egypt. He was trained in their idols. Would have been trained in all of their riches and the caring for them and in all the pleasures that were there in Egypt. What's he going to do? He's got the training of Egypt. He's got the heritage of faith. When you think about that, what about your choice? Where is your faith? Where is your confidence? What are you choosing for your life? You have the world and all of its pleasures and all of its attractions. Those attractions are strong. And there are things that would be very pleasurable. Then you have Christ. Christ and his sacrifice that he's made for you and his promises that have been made. Personal choice is required, is it not? Personal choice is required. What am I going to choose? We see here that personal choice that Moses made. It says there that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's made a choice, hasn't he? He's made a choice. That choice, you know, that's I think of repentance. Repentance is turning from our own ways and our own self and our own desires, turning from our sin and turning unto God. When his refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he turned from the world's heritage. He had a great heritage of the world in Pharaoh's household. He had all of the rich Egyptian heritage. He was called a prince. A prince in Egypt he was. He turned from that prestige of being a prince and turned to the prestige of Egyptian leadership. Here is a great nation that he has the opportunity to be there in the leadership of this country. They also had all their idol worship. They had all of the various gods that they served and things that they feared. In fact, even when you make a study of the plagues, the 10 plagues, the plagues that were brought upon them, many of those things we find were specific things that where God was showing them that his power and control over things that they tended. They had many different things that they worshiped. But he had been trained in those things. He would have been, but he turned from the idol worship of Egypt. And though some things that were pleasurable, he turned from the sinful debauchery of Egypt. He turned from the sinful debauchery of Egypt. In refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that was quite a choice that he made. He had such a privileged position. But when you look at verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing to be identified with a people that are despised. They had come to be despised in Egypt. They had come to be slaves in Egypt. Things have turned from what it was like in Joseph's time when Joseph was there. There has been a new Pharaoh that has risen, the scripture says, that knew not Joseph. They didn't know Joseph, and they didn't know what had been before. They just had this people that lived there in the midst of them, that now they had enslaved them, and now they were causing them to serve them. The scripture says that every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians, and here were people that were shepherds in the land, and they were an abomination to them. They chose, in his refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and in his choosing to be identified with the people of God, it was a choice. It was a choice there that it says, it was a choice that he was a choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. When you think of that choice, you know, we've had it pretty easy here in our country. There are those that come to Christ around the world that when they make a choice, it's like the choice that Moses made. But yet, you know, today Christians of our nation are under great attack. Though we still have some constitutional protections, we're seeing continually that we're no longer the prized people of this nation. Standing for righteousness with God's people may someday put you in serious trouble. Moses made that choice. He made that choice by faith, that he would refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and instead he would turn from that. He would turn from that and he would identify himself with this despised people who were the people of God. And then it goes on to say that this choice involves sin's perspective. He says, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Many are pulled aside by the pleasures of sin. We think of sin as that awful thing, you know, with following after Satan, you know, with the horns and it's something that is going to be shown immediately what it is. But those things that are put before us as temptations, those things that are put before us as temptations from Satan to cause us to sin, is that, you're really missing out if you don't have part of this. It is something where we're drawn into because of the pleasurableness of sin. But it says, it is indicating to us here that Moses recognized in making that choice, the pleasures of sin are short-lived. The pleasures of sin are only there for a season. And then is heartache. And then is destruction. We must see sin as it really is. We must see those things that we're attracted to on a daily basis of what is the end result of those things. You see the various advertisements for all sorts of sinful practices, and they all describe the pleasure of them. But they don't show the end result of them. They don't show the end result of them. You know, there are many things that are that we can be attracted to. We can think of, certainly we think of those that are, you could call them lust traders, those that would seek to cause us to go after things in fornication and adultery. It seems like our whole society is centered in being sex-driven. But I think of the warning that's given to us in Proverbs 9:17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. Hollywood makes adultery and all sorts of sinful practices seem like it's just common, it's just what is really going to make one's life, but it doesn't show the end result of it. The Lord tells us the end result of that here in Proverbs. The dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of hell. Oh, that we would recognize that sin, the pleasures of it are only there for a season, and then the end thereof. Oh, you take something that we think very, very simple, and I just think of the lottery. Well, what do you see about the lottery? I mean, you hear it every week all the time because you got this person that won this, this person that won that, and it's always to get you to track to take this chance to get rich quick. The Bible warns us about riches that come without labor, riches that come such. But have you ever taken time to read the stories of those who won really big money on the lottery? A number of years later, those that have won massive amounts of money that are bankrupt, that are in heartache, that their families are destroyed, they don't realize what the end result is. Oh, a little song that's been taught to the young people. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me? Down here my sins forgiven. Up there a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. That is really the choice that Moses made. He made a choice as he understood the perspective of sin. He made a choice that involved an eternal perspective. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all of the treasures of Egypt. Wow. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. Moses saw all of the treasures of Egypt. Moses could have had everything this world at that point had to offer. Everything it had to offer. But you know, I think Moses evidently came to recognize what Solomon wrote of in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity, all is emptiness. It doesn't last. What the world presents to us doesn't last. So Moses could look at here, this despised people. Here were his people that are despised, that are enslaved. And he chose to turn from all of the riches of Egypt. He chose to turn to be identified with this people because he saw the reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures in Egypt. He saw afar the riches of Christ. He saw by faith the reward of eternity. And in that riches and identifying with Christ, even in reproach, he could see as a great blessing. Isn't that evidenced by Peter and the other apostles when we see him in Acts chapter 5? when they had been called together, when they had been beaten and told not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus, when they were let go, it says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. I think about my own self. If I were put in their place, would I recognize how vain are the things of this world and how treasurable it is to be identified in any way with Christ, even if it means to be beaten, to be imprisoned, even to be slain? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That's what it's saying about Moses. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. You compare the treasures of Egypt with the treasures of Christ's reproach, and he chose Christ's reproach. He could have had esteem or reproach. He was choosing poverty over riches. He was choosing slavery over ease. Why? Because he looked ahead to the reward. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. You see, that's where faith looks ahead. Faith sees what God has promised. It is the evidence of things hoped for. God has promised. God's word gives us the confidence for the future. Moses chose a personal faith in Christ as an example of what... Let me say that again. Right. Moses' choice of a personal faith is an example of what true faith looks like. Is that your choice? We have those that have supposedly made a choice for Christ because it's the respectable thing to do. I think that's why we have maybe so many false professions with us today, because there is not that choice. We think of men like, well, one of the men that we're supporting as a missionary, Joseph Abraham. He grew up in Egypt. His father, a Muslim priest. He chose the reproach of Christ over what he could have had there in Egypt. It come very close to costing him his life. He had to flee for his life. Left everything, home and everything, because he saw the riches that are in Christ. And the things of this world did not mean anything. That's faith. That's the faith that we see here with Moses. And then we see him with a life of faith. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Yes, he made that choice. And there is that faith that we have in making that choice, that personal choice. And there is that living that faith, living that life of faith. He forsook Egypt. Yes, he left the security of Egypt. He claimed the security in Christ. And it says he didn't fear the wrath of the king. He knew Pharaoh's power. He was raised in his house. He knew the king's wrath. He had seen it exercised, but he also knew God. And he endured. He endured. That word endured is he was steadfast. He lived that faith. As he was steadfast in that faith, it says he endured being steadfast. That's the everyday life. You know, it's one thing to be confronted with a truth and to make a decision. And that word, then it comes out, was this just an emotional decision or was it a real choice of the heart? Because now you have to live it. And it says, but he didn't fear the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him as invisible. He saw what was not seen. He saw what was not seen. He endured as seeing him, as seeing God who is invisible. That is to be the Christian life, lived on a daily basis, lived not fearing man, not fearing man, but instead of fearing man, fearing God, seeing the one that is invisible, seeing the one that you cannot see with your eye, but he's revealed himself to you, and you can trust in him, you can have your confidence in him, and you can walk day by day with your Lord. That is the faith that we see here with Moses as he lives that life of faith, that endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you can look through many of those things in Moses' life as you go back and read there in the book of Genesis. Verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He worshiped in faith. He worshiped in faith. He kept the Passover. Here he is with the people of God. He's there with his people. They're slaves in Egypt. They're under great bondage. Moses' intercession for them has increased their bondage. And that's when we come to the Passover, that is such a great example of faith. Because at every step, what Moses has done in confronting Pharaoh, Pharaoh's heart is hardened continually. And he makes things worse and worse. So at every juncture of even through all those plagues that God sends upon Egypt, things get worse for the children of Israel. And yet, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. What was the Passover and that sprinkling of blood? Well, of course, the sprinkling of blood was there. Where God had them to for that last plague that was going to be brought, where the firstborn of every creature, both man and beast, was going to die. And the Lord told him, I want you to take that spotless lamb. I want you to slay it. And I want you to take that blood and I want you to put it on the doorposts. And when the angel of death sees that, he will pass over your house. He will pass over your household and your family and your beasts. It was by faith that they did that, that God would grant them deliverance. And God passed over each of them as that blood was on the doorposts. It says there, he did that lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It was by faith they did that. And in the Passover celebration, it was not just not to be slain, but it was that this is the time of God's deliverance. Not just from the death angel passing over. This is when God is going to deliver us. This is when we're going to be out of Egypt. This is where the promises that God has brought are going to be fulfilled. It was a celebration of deliverance. It was a time of new beginning. In Genesis 12:2, it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." The Lord said, "This is your day of deliverance." And it was right in the time that things had been harder than they had ever been. And there was no indication that Pharaoh would ever gonna let them go. What an example of faith. God says, "Today I'm going to deliver you. I want you to prepare for this celebration." In fact, he even had them, "I want you, even in preparing this, I want you to have your loins girt about. I want you to be ready to go because this is the day of your deliverance." Humanly impossible. Humanly impossible as testified in the last 9 plagues. But God said it. And Moses celebrated the Passover. Not only were they delivered from the death angel, but they were sent out. Pharaoh says, "Get out of here." They were sent out. And they went out with great treasure. They went out with great treasure because the Egyptians gave of them of their treasures and said, "They want them out of here, want you to leave." And you read the account of the great treasure they went out with. They left, and we don't have time to go on to that, but they walked in faith. I want you to look at verse 29. "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned." You remember that situation? I think of this passage so many times. It's that passage where Moses says, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." What had taken place there? The Lord has led them to the edge of the Red Sea. He's led them to a place where there is no way out. Pharaoh's heart has now been hardened again, and he determines, "Why did I let them go? I'm going to come kill them." You read the passage of Scripture, you understand he was ready to come and to slay them. They're coming, and the Israelites look, and they say to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to kill us?" But the Lord has told Moses, "I'm going to deliver you here." So Moses just tells the people, "Don't worry, don't fear. Just stand here and look at what God's going to do." Moses didn't have any power of his own. He had no strength of his own. But God just told Moses, "I want you to take your rod. I want you to hold it up, point over towards the sea, and I'll divide it." All Moses had to do was, by faith, do what God told him. Moses holds his rod out, and God parts the waters. Completely impossible. No such thing had ever been done. But was anything too hard for the Lord? You see, it is a walking by faith. Though the situation didn't look good, though they were the Israelites feared in the approach of the Egyptians. Moses said, "Don't fear." He stood there with expectancy and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." He spoke there believing God, and he moved by faith, just holding out the rod. And then God, in his power, acted. The faith of Moses. The faith of Moses. What have we seen this morning? He's given to us a heritage of faith that you might believe God. You must have a personal faith in God. Would you choose to forsake the world and choose Christ? That's what we've seen of Moses today. But you've got to have that personal faith. Your parents' faith isn't enough. Your heritage of your family is not enough, though as good as it is. And you're to have a life of faith. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath, but he endured as seeing him as was invisible. A life of faith. That's why it says, the just shall live by faith. The Lord wants us to see him, seeing him who is invisible. The Lord wants you to look beyond your present circumstances and look to him. Oh, we should worship in faith. Worship in faith. Through faith he kept the Passover. What a blessed thing it is to worship in faith. You know, when we come together for the Lord's table today, we there are there in remembrance of what God has done. As we recognize there is our eternal salvation, we worship our God. We should be here today worshiping him in faith today and walking by faith. And walking by faith, not trusting in your own ability. Moses had no ability to divide the sea. He just did what God told him. He says, all I want you to do is stand there and put your rod out and I'll take care of the rest. We need to recognize our own inability, but have a faith in our God. Not trusting in your own ability, but trusting in the strength and the power of Almighty God. Oh, the faith of Moses. It'd be good if we'd just go back and think about that and meditate upon it. Go back and read through those passages. You start reading about that and you can't let it down. You just got to keep reading because as you see what God did there with him. But that's given for us. It's for our admonition. Because we're tempted in the same way that Israelites were and men were before. But we have those examples of faith that are given to us that we might today, as those that have come to Christ, be the just that live by faith. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Help us, Lord, to be a people that are constantly looking to thee and choosing to serve thee by faith. Lord, help us not to be tempted to evil, but Lord, that those temptations of life would be those things, Lord, which would be there to demonstrate our faith in thee. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to submit to thee in all things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and turn